Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Challenge Vendettas podcast for the finale, sort of. I am Brian Cohn, here in the, as always, in my co-host, Allie Usher. Allie, how are you?
I'm doing well, and I had something I was going to say about, like, we made it, whatever. But now that you've said the finale, sort of, I just want to talk about that.
Sure.
This is still the finale.
I mean, like, can it be a finale without the final announcement?
So Survivor has the finale without the final announcement. The reunion just happens to air immediately following the finale.
Right, but the finale episode includes the winner announcement.
It didn't last season.
Really? Like, if you go to CBS.com and watch the Survivor reunion.
Oh, no. It's the Survivor finale and the Survivor reunion. And the reunion always happens at the winner is always announced at the beginning.
Yeah.
I meant of the challenge.
Right. Well, I mean, that's like the first time they've done it.
Yes. Yeah. I'm just saying, you can disagree. Most people will. This is still the finale episode. The reunion will take place over the next 2 weeks where they will announce the winner.
Yes, that is a fair way to put it. Just leave it to the Chalice to make it complicated about what their actual last episode is and all that other sort.
Well, it's certainly not the last episode.
No. It's the last episode where it was filmed with action happening that was not in a studio for a reunion.
This is going to be an unpopular opinion, and spoiler alert, it really didn't bother me that much.
As much more than last season where they were revealing it live, because I don't think they're even revealing it live, are they?
But that, who cares? Like, I didn't even care about the live. Like, for me, it's just like when people used to be like, Laguna Beach is scripted or The Hills is scripted. It's not really reality. Okay, I don't care. Like, I don't care if it's live or not live. I'm watching it in the same way.
This one pissed me off even more. Maybe because I knew going into last season that it was going to happen, but this one was just like what was even like, frustrate me so much the way they do these things. Just like, tell us the winner. What's the difference? Like, just tell us the winner. We watched the whole episode of them competing to see who's going to win. Just tell us who won.
So it's funny, and you are in the majority for sure. Like, people, you know, this is not gonna bode well for me, but I don't care. I never care. So like, it, to me, I don't know that I even care who wins the season. Is that crazy to say? Like, I enjoyed this as an hour of television, and I don't feel that, I feel whatever about not knowing the winner. Maybe because there's four people left. Like, I just, like, there's too many people for me to really be invested in any one story.
Yeah, I mean, I would say more so than any other, like, competition reality show, I don't judge the challenge based on who wins, as opposed to, like, a Survivor or a Big Brother, where people could, like, feel like the complete season was a waste. Like, if Kyle wins, I won't feel like, oh, this was so stupid. But, so, I mean, I guess I can understand that part of it, but I also just, I mean, I'm invested in this episode, and, like, I get pissed off when they do 2B continues for normal eliminations, just as much as this. I just hate when they build towards something and then just cut it off right at the, like, the winner or elimination. It kills all the momentum leading up to it.
So that's also fair, because I watched this episode today, and, like, people had bitched to me that this hadn't, or I'm sorry, people had reasonably complained to me that this was going to happen. So, like, I have a friend, Monica, who just started watching the challenge halfway through the season and has already completed, like, 7 seasons of the challenge otherwise. I'm like, you should just do the podcast now, because I haven't seen those seasons in years since I was prepubescent. So she was like, I'm so, just in general, ranting to me today, like, the women never get along. There's the 2B continued. They leave me hanging. I'm used to the immediate gratification of the seasons I've been binge watching. And I'm like, here's the challenge in modern day. Wow, that was so racist. Wow, this is an unpredictable format. Wow, these women aren't making any sense and fighting each other when they should be aligning. Wow, he's being really stupid and sexist and horrible. Oh my God, this 2B continued. It's so stretched out. It's ridiculous. Wow, what a great season of the challenge. These are just like the everyday complaints that I feel like maybe I'm doing a better job this season of embracing than my former self. Like, I truly can't believe myself that I'm not more upset about this.
Yeah. I mean, it is interesting now that I think about how little even just the winners of season stick with me. Like, if I think about like who won like X's two, like I would have to like seriously think about who was even part of that season and who won. But if you ask me like who won like a Survivor season, I would, after like at least like 10 to 15 seconds, I'd probably be able to figure it out. But for the challenge, I don't even think I could really remember off the top of my head.
Yeah, I think there's something to you saying, like, it's not that important who wins a season necessarily, with the exception of when they pull like a twist of like, Bananas is going to screw over Sarah. Bananas is going to screw over Paula. Bananas is going to screw over everyone else. Like, that we'll remember. I mean, mm-hmm. if Zach or Kara win the season, who's going to really care? Maybe because if Kara wins, she will have been the only female. Like, she's the only winner and she was a female, right. Which would be exciting.
Yeah. It's more so just like it becomes a part of a storyline for like next season as opposed to like building off like making this a good season. It's more so like, oh, Kara was like showed like she's like this competitor, Zach did this in the final. It's more so like what they do in the final that almost leads is more important for next season as opposed to making this season good or bad or whatever.
Which now I'm just thinking, like, because of the unique format of the challenge where it solely relies, or for the most part relies, on returning players who have won, you know, anywhere from 0 of 11 to 6 of, you know, whatever. Like, people have won so many times that it's not necessarily like you're the sole survivor. You're the winner of Big Brother. And yes, you can come back as a winner, but like winners come back every single season. And it's not so much of a big deal besides the money grab.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting point about that. But I guess I'm not even as upset as I more so would be when they cut off like an elimination when there's like 2 seconds left. It just, especially because they were at the point of TJ being like, and the winner is, drum roll, cut, end of episode. Where if they just extended it by like 10 seconds, they could have just told it to me. So that's of more so of any reason why it just pisses me off.
I think that's completely valid, and I, you know, don't recognize myself right now, but I want to ask you more questions about the timing of when To Be Continued happened, but I don't want to do the whole podcast from end to beginning. So sorry about that.
No, well, whichever way you want to go. This is, I mean, I think the final usually is like a free for all because it's just one giant challenge. So, I mean, it's hard to like break down the specifics of how people ran in mud. So, I mean, we could talk about anything we want here.
Well, let's just go back to at least the establishing stuff where we sort of have the reckoning of Leroy and Tony. And, you know, I listened to most of What I Time For of your and Dane's podcast. I always love a Dane cast. And like Leroy, again, has the same like entitled attitude that you guys talked about, even when like Tony's like, you know, you were strong arming me. You were telling me what to do, whether or not we care about that side of the story from Tony. Leroy just says it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I think. As we talked about last week, I think Leroy was just so butthurt that he thought he would have just, you know, he thought he had friends in places, a position of power, that now he would be able to benefit for that. And then he had to like just work a little bit harder to get to the final. And he was just butthurt by that. And whether he was being rational or not, he was going to unleash no matter what Tony was going to say or do after the fact.
And it is just bizarre. Like, we talk a lot about sort of like, what is Leroy missing? And this happens, you know, swimming skills. I think it's more social game. I don't know that Leroy can really ever have a fully like self-directed, smart, strategic social game. And this is one of the reasons why, where we see like Tony like making amends now. I mean, what good does it really do? But he's sort of saying like, can you at least retract that you said I'm a bitch? And he was like, well, do you think you're a bitch? Yeah. Like, he just can't, like, politic. He can't be a diplomat. Like, he just, I don't know, he just immediately can't see the other side, can't even pretend to, which I do think hurts his game.
Yeah, and, I mean, it's kind of interesting because this is not, like, a uncommon place for even, like, some of the big stars or big competitors to be targeted and screwed over the right before the final spot. That's a very common place. So, I mean, I don't know why he was so just like specific on like the reasoning. Like, people lie, like people give BS answers why people are voting to elimination. Like, that's just, I mean, we see that over and over again. Like, yeah, it was Tony was using a BS answer, but just get over it. Like, that's, I mean, whatever. I don't, it was very weird that even after he won, Leroy couldn't just kind of shake it off.
Are you ready for a hot take?
Sure.
I'm cooling on Kyle.
Cooling So you were high? I don't even remember where we stood. We were all high.
We were always high in Kyle. I thought this was going to get a better reaction because this is like Kyle's like crown and glory episode, whether or not he wins.
Well, I'm just curious. I think this didn't change my opinion of Kyle really at all. So I'm curious why this swayed you down.
Okay, because if you're bringing people from Jordy Shore, a show of which I was a fan in college. Now, I never saw Kyle's season, but Jordy Shore, much like its sister, Jersey Shore, is known for the drama, the drinking, the debauchery, what have you. If you're going to bring people onto my show from random ass shows, it's because a lot of the veterans are too old for the debauchery or in serious relationships with children and married or are really focused on the game and therefore are not treating their bodies like, I don't know, objects for our entertainment. No, not really. When Kyle says he's going to stop drinking because of the challenge, he lost me completely.
Yeah.
I'm done.
That's not a good look. Not a good look.
Give me three seasons. Give me three seasons of debauchery of the Marie and the Cara and the saying stupid things and being the funny guy before you're the, you know, Derek. Derek is the first person I remember stopping to drink for the challenges, and I'll never forget it because he's ruined the challenge. No, people should consume alcohol responsibly. But I was like, it's too soon for you to already flip and be telling me you're all athlete and no drama. I'm out.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's interesting though. You would think you go on this show and then like it would encourage more of that behavior, but then it's almost like the opposite, because people, they see others who do well and how much they train, and they look like Kara and you look at like a Zach where they're not really doing that stuff anymore. They're like, oh, I kind of want to win, and then they follow them. Yeah, it's not a good look. I think the challenge almost needs to go back to like have a full season where the competitions are so mundane and stupid to encourage people to do stupid stuff and drink, and so they don't need to be in tip-top shape. They need to have a little more balance.
Fat challenge.
Yeah.
Challenge, the fat season.
The average Joe season. The average Joe season.
That's an interesting take. I'm with you there. I'm not really out on, don't at me, I'm not really out on Kyle completely, but for the most part, I'm like a little disappointed because he had, you know, we do the graph, like the, you know, the x-axis is well, this is already too advanced for me to be talking about, but the perfect balance between partying and drama and willingness to have a good time and challenge literacy, and he's already turning way too quickly to challenge literacy.
That's fair. I was very impressed.
Ability, not literacy, doesn't need to read anyway.
I was very impressed with his performance this in this final, me and Dave talked about, we thought he was, you know, we thought he had an outside chance, but we thought he was definitely fourth amongst the guys. And I mean, him finishing second and being in the lead for a lot of the first part of the final was very impressive.
Well, let's talk about that, because my reaction to that and to Leroy and all of everyone being like, I guess he wasn't a layup. Like, what show was Leroy watching, and what show were you and Dane watching? I feel like Kyle like carried his team in that sand challenge where they had one less person. He was the one they handicapped with the legs tying together. I feel like Kyle has performed middle to above middle of the pack every single time, has been in the Troika so many times. Like, I just think he's been underrated, but I think he's shown like enormous physical ability.
I think the endurance was where we thought he would really hurt, where the other guys would step up, especially since what we've seen from some of them this season, that we thought, since so much of a final is endurance based, we thought that's where he would tail off. But I mean, it's weird because I mean, he was really helped during the pole challenge where they had Zach, Tony, and Leroy all kind of turned on each other, and Kyle kind of skated free. So that was where he really gained his big advantage. But even other than that, I thought his endurance was much better than I ever expected.
Which, I mean, we've talked about that Kyle can't really come back next season and play the same game, because like all of the times where he's been discounted, I feel like he's exposed at this point. It's like the opposite of Joss, who took off in the beginning and became a target. Like, Kyle now has shown his cards, but at least and even strategically and physically, if you watch the season, like, Kyle is revealed to be way more of a threat than anybody saw in the house. But great rookie season.
Yeah, I think Kyle, I think if anything, unless he was totally bombed in this final, I think his profile would be very high going into a future season if he would be a part of it. But now it's only higher.
All right, so let's talk about the format of the final in general.
Yeah, so it's being run, like they said, in two stages. The first stage, where is half the contestants will be eliminated. The two bottom two guys and the bottom two girls will be cut, leaving four people left for the final stage.
Now, location scout TJ Lavin was added again, telling us that this was the only place or best place to have a final. I was like, thanks, TJ, for really breaking us in again. But overall, I liked it more than I thought I would, that eight people went into the final and four people got eliminated at the first stage. What did you think?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that was a good way to do it. I think it would have been really weird to have all eight finish and then like only give money to like three or four people and like everyone completes the final but doesn't get any money. I think this was clearly the best way to do it. I was a little surprised of how basically like 95% of the final was with everyone, and then it was just the four people at the end, which is kind of interesting. I thought to be more of a part of the final where it was just the people competing, but I guess because they have to do the thing where it's just one winner, they have to kind of keep it as balanced as possible. But I kind of wish there was a little more to it where there was just the four people.
Yeah, I remember feeling like, okay, this all just comes down to like one puzzle and that's it. But like, I think instead of two stages, they should have built it as like, you're going to compete the final and then you're going to have one part. Like, I think they built it wrong, because when they said two stages, and this is where I was going to ask you about where they cut it off. Like, after the whole stage one, and we'll talk about it, and people didn't all feel this way, but like, I really liked stage one. I felt the momentum of a final, unlike when we get these truncated parts and then they add your time together. Like, I liked that we were seeing a nonstop loop of the running and the this, and then you have to put this on and you do this challenge and then you meet Banana at the underground casino, whatever. But I thought that once that finished and everybody congratulates the winners and the people go home and Tony's devastated, that's where this episode should have ended. Now, I realize that they couldn't do that, because how pissed would you be then when the next episode is just a freaking puzzle?
But no, honestly, I would be less pissed. If they cut it off and then the final four was going to start next week and then like then they would go to the reunion, I'd be 100% fine with that. It's just when I just get so annoyed when they cut things off, when they're just like at the tippy edge where it takes like 10 seconds more to give us the freaking result. But if they wanted to have the final challenge be the leading into a reunion next week, that's fine with me. I would be upset, but I'd be much less upset.
I just think either way, they needed more at this. Like, I agree. Like, they needed more at the second stage, or they needed to not call it a second stage and just say like the final checkpoint or something, because it did feel like a little anticlimactic, even though finals can end in a puzzle, you know. Like, it just kind of felt like the reverse, where usually they do the puzzles then they scale the mountain. This time they like quote unquote scaled the mountain and then they did the puzzle, which felt a little ho-hum to people.
Instead of giving Zach and Kara the boost for being in first there, they should have just had another stage, and then whoever was in first there gets the boost towards the puzzle. Like, you shouldn't have had any benefit of finishing first or second, because for stage one, because the whole point was just not finish third or fourth, and then just have a section before the puzzle, and whoever was in first or second after that, then you get like a minute or 30 seconds or whatever you want to do it. They could have done something like that instead of giving the time benefit based off stage one.
Yeah, I think they shouldn't have done anything like that at all, because I feel like that, like, what was genius, and well, we'll get to, I guess, but like, I thought the genius part is that the pegs won, I don't know, the backstabbed, that like, you're hindered by who's ever behind you. So like, if you're in second, you get an ability to sort of get closer to the first person. But if you're in third, you're screwed. And I just thought that was like an interesting little like penalty / reward for your positioning. And that should have just been like, you finish first or second, doesn't matter, anybody's game.
Yeah, see, I liked that a lot. I just hated what they did there. I just, the challenge itself, what they had to compete in, I don't know if they expected people to be like, whatever, just like, let's just do whatever and give them like the hot chocolate. Or maybe they did. That's why the hot chocolate was an option. But I don't think that should have been a situation where people could have just worked together and you'd be like, this is stupid, let's just quickly move past this and move on. Like, there should have been more to it than that.
See, I didn't mind that. I liked that the hot chocolate was there as sort of like an incentive to collaborate. I think it would have been improved by, and you know, you say this a lot like every week, but it would have been improved by them knowing the format, because then it's like, okay, Zach is like, all right, Kara, we're homies, let's just drink the chocolate milk. And she's like, wait a minute, you're my competition, even though we're friends. Because I think part of it was that the genders assumed they weren't really competing against each other, so it was no problem to coordinate.
Mm-hmm. Or just have one of each. I don't know why there had to be so many different versions of like hot chocolate. There should have just been the four food options, and someone had to be eat each of them. And they just like they should, you shouldn't be able to re-up on an item.
Now, explain to me why Tony calls for the cheese. I like almost could say that the last like Tony doesn't, and we'll get back to the first checkpoints, but Tony is saying he's going to coordinate with Kayla, and he's screaming, give me the cheese, give me the cheese. Now, he doesn't win. I mean, he doesn't lose, so we don't know if he would have, like, if he wasn't really paying attention to what hot chocolate is. But why does Tony prefer disgusting cheese to delicious hot chocolate?
I mean, we saw him, like, scarf down disgusting food earlier in the season, so maybe he just likes that better. I don't know.
But not by choice. Like, it was just such a... Give me the cheese! Give me the cheese! Is, like, one of my favorite sound bites of all time, and I feel, like, applicable to my life.
Maybe he also just hates chocolate. I don't know. I don't know Tony's life.
Thanks for going with me out there, having a good time on the podcast. All right, let's go back in time to the first point, the first checkpoint. So they first have to run a mile and a half there and back to get a token, you know, to pay the troll toll to get to the first checkpoint. Yep. But they are also burdened with, like their vendettas, physical burdens.
Chains, to be specific.
Well, chains, and then the next, like, I just, the whole premise is that at each round, they're going to be have physical burdens. Did you like this?
Yeah, I thought this was a clever. I thought it started off, people were doing, I think, what they expected them to do, which was, you know, the guys would, like, look the team up or go after someone, depending on timing of people getting there, about taking their arrows or torches.
No, and sorry, kind of do you like the physical burdens? I'm taking you back one step before we get to the first.
Yeah, I mean, that's totally fine. Yeah, give them, make it as difficult as possible. I mean, it kind of fits with the weirdness of a vendetta season. I mean, I think it's more interesting than adding something to them running. Of course, I'm going to like it because running itself is boring to watch, so add something to it.
See, like, I didn't love a couple of things I didn't love about this. I didn't love the, like, oh, just like carrying your vendettas around, you're gonna have burdens. Like, I wish it was more like a tie into the grenades. And I know that they tried to do that with Bananas and Mel, and we'll get to that. But I don't know, like, I wish it was a little bit more like somebody came in with an advantage and could grenade some people up with these things. I also feel like it's a little annoying to, like, that some of the difficulty of the final is brought on by shackles as opposed to, like, being made difficult and having to see, like, raw athleticism. Like, I did, you know, they're running like goons. Like, I did miss. Sometimes I just like watching, like, Jemmy in the ring. Like, I like watching the raw athleticism, and I feel like that was taken away, like, made a little more goofy, although the suits of armor were made for some of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. So, like, maybe it was I just didn't like the shackles.
Especially Kayla being completely flustered how to even put it on in the first place, which was amazing.
Yeah, meanwhile, Cam has to put that freaking thing on and then trudge to dig a hole for a log, and Kayla's having a mental breakdown just putting it on.
Yeah, that was great. It is interesting what you said about the grenades, because I think that should have been more of a part of it rather than just with the mercenary thing. They should have, I mean, I was thinking that each winner of a round should have been given a grenade to use on someone for the next one. I don't know why that wasn't part of it also.
So the only issue with that, and that's like my instinct too, right? Like, somebody comes in with advantage, gives you shackles, and the next person who wins gives someone the suit. But, like, they would have to stop the clock to administer that, and then we would be getting what we complained about in the past of, like, okay, you're disadvantaged, or you pick a new partner for the next round, but then we have to add up all the times and kill the momentum that way.
I think there's an easy way to do it, where it's just like the grenade takes effect to the next round. So I don't know. It's like, instead of, you know, you have wearing your, like, whole armor, you also have to, there's gonna be something like a log or something that you have to carry with you to the next thing, or there could have been easy ways to do it where whoever got the grenade, there was something waiting for them at the next checkpoint that they had to deal with.
Yeah, I just think television wise, right? It's like, then that person has to, like, stop and take time to read what the grenade options are, apply it, and then keep going. You know, I just, like, I share the impulse, but I just don't think they would do it in a way that wouldn't be momentum killing.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I think, you know, I guess I shouldn't trust the challenge producers to do something that wouldn't be momentum killing. So that's,
well,
totally
either
fair.
Way, it takes, unless they explain it ahead of time, like, the first person to finish the first checkpoint gets to pick between these three grenades. So think about what you want to use. like mm-hmm. as you go. But I just don't I just think from like a viewing pleasure perspective, this like worked fine, but wasn't ideal. And I don't have a better solution.
So then what about the torch running kind of game where that it would take one of their torches to the other side, but then they could also steal one from someone else's?
So my issue with this is that you shouldn't be able to do both. Like, you should either be able to run down and steal some torches or bring your own torch over. But to just have the option to take a torch back with you every time, to me, wasn't interesting.
I don't know. I liked it. I liked the fact that people realized that all this was doing was making it harder on everyone involved. And that's kind of where you saw Kyle jump ahead of it, because he's one the person that everyone forgot about. So you have Leroy and you have Zach and Tony going against Leroy going against those two. I thought that was a very interesting dynamic, the way that played out. So I think this one played pretty well.
Like, I just didn't think it was satisfying for them to all realize they were being stupid. Like, I just think it would have been more interesting to have to choose between, like, you know, filling your own bucket or like taking from theirs. Because like Nicole I think we're lucky that like Nicole was dumb, because there's no chance that with Kara's lead, you could catch her by removing. You're not going to outrun her. And she's so far ahead of you that taking the torches out doesn't do anything, because you're not like she faces no consequences from taking yours out. Like, it's not like she could stop. She would have to stop filling hers to hurt you. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, it obviously makes sense, but then don't underestimate these people's stupidity, especially when they're desperate and they're tired and they're doing all this running, that they're going to just do things that probably don't make sense. But in the moment they think, oh, this is actually going to really benefit me. Even if only they do it once or twice, I think that at least plays during this.
Sure. Show. But I'm not stupid. Right. So like, I didn't like watching it, I get what you're saying. Like, yeah, it worked. It worked to their advantage. It wasn't like everybody was like, oh, I'm not going to take it because it's not going to hurt. But I just wish there was like a little bit more intrigue.
Yeah. So this is where Nicole has to tap out, because I think she hurt her ankle when she was running in the mud and twisted it and fell. And then it exacerbated throughout that and then really started hurting here. And this is where she has to bow out in sobbing tears.
Now, did I over fast forward, did they ever say like Nicole's DQ'd?
I mean, they said like the meta came by and said like, I recommend you not continuing. And then she kept telling
people, that.
Yeah. And then she's like, yeah, I have to bow out to like everyone that ran by. It was like very sad.
I don't know how I freaking missed. I watched her cry. Seemed like less at the pain and more at the idea that she wouldn't be able to finish, which was like kind of heartbreaking. But yeah. I just like that when I picked up, everybody just like somehow knew she wasn't in it anymore. And I was like, what happened?
Yeah, I mean, I felt bad. I especially when we see people quit finals, I especially feel bad for people that get hurt or whatever during finals when, I mean, I think Nicole could have given Kara a run for her money throughout this one. So it's kind of a bummer to see her tap out here.
Did you watch the after show?
I did not. I can't bring myself to watch that.
All right. So we'll just recap that later. But Nicole was on it. So I only watched the first like 10 minutes where Nicole talks about this. I guess I'll just go to it now. There's no point. So somebody in the audience was like, your injury didn't look so bad. Like, what the hell? And Nicole was like, I sprained my ankle and tore two ligaments and I'm a firefighter and that comes first and I have to pick my job every time. And Jordan somewhere is like, I'm sure, screaming like about how amazing he is. Yep. But just when you thought Jordan was going to, you know, speak for himself, Laurel pops up. I guess she was the guest last week, so they recorded a message with her. And she's like, how did you let this happen? Jordan did it with a broken tibia. How is a sprained ankle going to stop you from the final? Like, we still love you, though. And Anissa mumbles under her breath that, like, Jordan didn't have a broken tibia, but they didn't go into it. And Nicole has some fun being like, oh, that's interesting, because I was with you last week and that's not what you were saying then. So anyway, Nicole's whole thing is that she felt like her career is physical, and if she were to continue on, her career would be in jeopardy. And then they like opened it up to the entire audience to vote, and 70% of people said that was a cop out. Just this whole like bullshit. Basically, MTV wants you to think that she should have quit and should have kept going. She doesn't seem bothered by it. And then Anissa wanted to let everyone know that she did the last final she was in with a torn ligament. And Nicole said, I'll beat you in any elimination. And Anissa said, that's not the point.
All right. Well, good for Anissa. I'll never fault anyone for their pain tolerance because you don't. We can never know exactly how much pain they're in because everyone's pain is different. And I'll never fault someone for, especially for that type of injury, especially when the doctor says like you probably shouldn't continue. It's not like she's just bowed out on her own. So I'm not giving Nicole any shit.
Yeah, I don't think Jordan is really a fair comparison because Jordan is like an insane person. So
yeah,
and I don't know that I didn't feel like she was going to win this, but maybe she'll have a chance to prove me wrong.
Her potentially doing that puzzle would have been high comedy, though.
Joe Terso says, why is Kara the sorest loser in challenge history? I know she won in this episode and probably will in the end, but every time somebody makes any kind of game move against her, referring to Nicole taking her torches, she turns into a 12-year-old and throws a tantrum. I don't understand. I don't get why she never gets called out for it.
Yeah, she's a big time baby. It is very annoying. She does this not even any final, any season. She's big on like, oh, I don't play dirty. I just play because she knows like people might try to anything that goes against her is playing dirty, even though it's like specifically in the rules where you could feel free to take someone else's torch. If you do it against Kara, you're an asshole. You're a douchebag. You're a jerk and blah, 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 blah. Kara's the worst.
Yeah, I will just take issue with Joe's statement that Kara never gets called out for it. I feel like people were not surprised by Kara doing this because she often is like this and it's like called out. And I hear him calling her out. It was terrible. Like Kara starting exactly what you're saying. Like that's not fair. Like these are the rules of the game. And what's really annoying about Kara is like people not following the rules and not taking the opportunity to sabotage her. Is to her like disadvantage, right? So like playing athletically and just worrying about yourself means she's gonna win. So right. She's like, oh, all of a sudden it's not fair to take the opportunities MTV has given other people to participate. That's not fair, but it is fair to change the rules and yell at you for it. I loved how she like took time out of her time to ask Nicole, like, why would you do that? I didn't do that to you. Like, just fucking run and take her torch or not. Like, it just like, why are you stopping to discuss it?
Yeah. I mean, this is classic horror. Classic horror. I wouldn't expect anything less. So.
I was pretty impressed here. Like we said, Kyle gets away sort of scot-free, but Leroy to finish this round in second place was pretty amazing, considering that Tony and Zach were both attacking him. So that's where like the torch advantage you like does come into play, where if you team up with somebody, presumably one of you are going to be able to, two of you are going to be able to outrun and out torch Leroy, but he comes in second here.
Yeah, very surprising, especially because later on, Zach basically passes him and when there was just a strict running portion of the challenge. So I guess Leroy kind of got tapped out a little bit as this went on, because it was, like you said, very surprising to see him pull out ahead of Zach and Tony when they're both going against him.
All right, so we have to get to the dungeon. I'm shocked neither of us have brought it up yet.
I mean, I think this is probably the weakest part of the final, the one that definitely didn't play as I think either they hoped, but I think they could have easily manipulated it to do what they wanted, but they just chose not to. So it was very odd timing.
That's what I was gonna say. Stack the deck. What the hell? Like the fact that this only serves to blow up Cam's chance and the villains of the season that people maybe even, I don't even like bananas, but I was so hoping that Tony got nailed and Zach got nailed just because that's what you want. Like you want Leroy to get away clean and you want Zach and Tony to get nailed. And the fact that this only serves to blow up in Cam's face is such a fail.
Yeah, big time bust. And of all the things for the challenge, I think this almost puts to bed the fact that the challenge would ever look to manipulate something, because this is like the easiest thing to manipulate, a stack of cards where they could just order it how they want. Like they can do whatever they want to manipulate to make sure that one person could win or lose. And the fact that only Cam loses is such a big time bust. Even just seeing Leroy lose and seeing bananas be like, here, just take water and go. Like even that would have been more interesting than just everyone winning.
I think that it's almost too easy to manipulate for them to have been able to do it, because like we saw one scene of Mel like shuffling the cards and like the contestant gets to cut the deck. I do think at some point the contestants, not that they have any say in what happens, but would be like, are you effing kidding me? MTV, like, you know, like if that happens, mm-hmm. You do see, like you said, never underestimate how stupid people are. Cam bets against the house, but Cam goes against the odds. She says higher on a 10. So that's the only reason even Cam gets a grenade used on her.
Yeah. Yeah. You would have thought though, like someone would get unlucky, but no, it was just clean, going for everyone. Cam loses and has to dig a log. Did you like, what about Melissa thinking long-term? Do you think it would have been almost better for her to take it a little bit easy on her, or were you okay with her sticking it with the worst grenade?
I don't think there's any love lost on Cam. First of all, Melissa just watched like all three guys not get any grenades. So I think she knows that this is going to be probably her only chance to use any of the grenades. And if she wants to, you know, keep her reputation outside or reputation with MTV as someone who needs to come back, she needs to be willing to stir up this shit. And I don't think Cam's going to hold it against her any more than their relationship was already tainted.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I agree. I think that was the move. What about even Melissa being the choice? Like, I think they're going to do this. Obviously, bananas makes sense given like the people in this final. But what about Melissa just because of her history with Cam and some of the other girls?
Well, yeah, I mean, with Cam and Nicole, I think that would have been interesting if Nicole had showed up and Kayla. I like it as a choice because I think she's one of the few people who would be willing to throw a grenade without any real personal benefit besides revenge. Like, I think a lot of people would have been like, oh, I'm going to be nice and repair this relationship for future. But also somebody made the point in our Facebook group that like, or not our Facebook group, our Facebook thread, that Mel's a cheaper flight out to where they are.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if this was even feasible, but I think it almost would have made more sense if there was a specific person for each person. So like, obviously bananas made sense for like Tony and Zach, but I almost would have rather seen like Kyle's Vendetta, whoever that, I guess if it was, who was Kyle's Vendetta, either Joss or I guess whoever the first person was that kind of tapped out, to be that person there. That way there was no one there to help you. It was always like a, if you lose, something bad's gonna happen situation.
I like that. That's bothering me. His name was like Riker, like Rendon. Rando. Like Reagan.
There you go. Either fly them out or just, I don't know, like they use Skype sometimes, put up a screen and have the person Skype in for the
situation. Lose me on the screen. You can't have them on the screen. I'm with you flying them out for the story. You lose me on having them on the screen.
Well, I'll just try to save them a little bit of money.
I don't care. They have a whole Universal Studio sponsorship. They could pay for the flights.
There you go. Should have used the money that people lost instead of putting it back into the pot to fly everyone out.
For anybody who's like wondering why I can be slow or confused or say the wrong thing, that's why. You just saw how my brain works, but out loud. Like, you go from Rando and you get to Reagan, but it's like 100 steps, and that's probably not even his name still, but I'm just satisfied with it.
Reagan sounds right, but I mean, you could literally could say any name. I'm like, yeah, sure, that's Richard. Sure, that sounds right. I don't know.
Would this have been better if, you know, you have to do a physical, like a more mercenary thing, that you actually have to beat Bananas and Mel in some sort of real competition and not a game of luck to then determine if you go free or if the grenades are used?
Yeah, I thought about that. I think two things. One, I think that would be too time consuming. I think they wanted this to kind of be like a quick thing, and then depending on the result, that would happen. And then two, like if it's just a really physical thing, that almost hurts the people who get there first, right? Because then it's like you're getting them at their freshest, and then the people who get there later, they're more tired, so it's probably easier to beat them.
Great points I didn't think about. Another thing though I didn't like about it, only because this I have a one-track mind, like I am getting a little bit sick of like Bananas goes home early and they're, and I'm not saying this was on purpose, but like Bananas goes home early and then him and Nani get to come back. Like Bananas goes home early and then he comes, gets to come back and F you. Like I almost liked that. I wanted to watch Tony and Zach like get effed. However, like Tony and Zach should not be punished for getting Bananas out of the house. And I do feel like anytime Bananas goes home, he does get to come back and seek revenge to the point where it's almost like, well, I don't want Bananas out because they're going to fly him back in to blow up my game in the final inexplicably.
It is an interesting precedent to set that if you screw over Bananas, you just say you probably there's a coming back in that season, not even like going forward in that season. Something else is going to happen.
Okay, so one thing is, and this is only explained by the fact that I didn't see them explain that Nicole has to leave. Mm-hmm. But in the graphic, when they keep moving the little head across, I would have loved like a little ambulance animation and Nicole's little like thing there.
Yeah, I love that, by the way. That was like straight out of Mario Kart. It was fantastic.
Like, wouldn't it have been great if she's just like sort of on the side, like sitting sad, like a sad picture of her? I miss that.
The cloud guy come in and like pick her up and take her off to this side. Yeah, they would have been, could have been great.
All right. So we talked about the hot chocolate element of it. Wendy Jiang says, why have these finals seemingly been getting easier and easier? Hot chocolate is an option? Question mark, question mark.
Yeah, I'm fine without the food stuff. I don't need to see more puking. I mean, I think I'm puked out. We're good on that. It sucks for them to do it, but I don't know. It doesn't add much for me.
Yeah, I mean, I said my piece on this, that just like if they had known it was one winner, it would have been awesome to see like Zach be like, let's, you know, let's collaborate, and Kara being like, no, like, no, thank you.
I also don't think this was that. I think it seemed easy, but I mean, I think it's underestimated how much they had to run, because there were a lot of like run a mile and a half and then run a mile and a half back. And I think they did that a lot, that it just doesn't seem like they did a lot. But I think within each like checkpoint, and they probably ran like upwards of like 15 miles over the course of this final.
Yeah, 15 seems a little high, but I like, because it was a mile and a half there and back, but as you're going each, yeah,
I mean, they had to do that rounds, like three or four times, I feel like, and then there was like other stuff involved. I think they ran a lot.
I just did a lot of math before, not on the podcast, not when I like said one mathematical sentence, but my brain is fried. I'm sorry, everyone. But same takeaway. Like, I actually was watching this and was feeling how hard this was. And there's a lot of finals we've had recently where I don't feel that way. Like, I know it's hard. I've said this on the podcast, like, I see how high the mountain is, but because the lack of momentum, I don't really feel the difficulty. Like, I feel like we watched these people be exhausted. I felt like I understood how difficult it was for Cam to build that, like, dig that freaking log. Like, I felt like some sense of achievement for them when they finished, came in second. I felt heartbroken for Leroy when he was so close. Like, I felt what I feel during a final that has been sort of taken away in recent years.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think there was improvements to be made in this final, but I mean, I think this is the format that works, right? Where it's like a lot of different running, and then at the different points, there's checkpoints that check different skill sets that you need, whether it's a puzzle or a different like lifting stuff or anything that they may want to do to just like do different components. But I think this is what you're going to get from a final, and I think it was close to doing it well. I think, as we talked about throughout this, there was a few things that they could have done to improve, but I think this was fine. This is what a challenge final is.
Oh, I already forgot the torches thing. That was the running. That's where you're getting it from. Okay, yes.
Yeah.
That to me was a little boring, only because it was just running and running. But for the most part, yeah, exactly. I agree with you.
Yeah. So, and I mean, I think, are we up to like basically the puzzle part of this? Or is there anything else before we see Leroy? Who else went home?
Tony.
Yeah, Tony time is now over. Oh, what did you make of basically Leroy saying that Tony is now just screwed and this was all for nothing?
Yeah, I mean, I felt really bad for Leroy as he was like in second, and he has this great moment of like Banana seeing him in second and feeling like some crazy weird sense of pride in Banana being proud of him. And then it's ripped away from him in favor of Kyle, who like deserves it. But I feel no personal attachment to him, like finishing and moving on. And then Leroy gets so much enjoyment out of this moment with Tony that it's almost like Leroy won.
Yeah, I mean, it sucks because, I mean, it's sort of true. I mean, Tony does all this. He burns bridges. He comes across looking like a douchebag to some of the people that he's like friends with. And then he doesn't even like win. I'm sure he got some money for being on the show, but for finishing the final, like, he doesn't get anything. So like, sucks.
I was just like more into Leroy not making it than Tony. Maybe because Tony was never going to make it, like pretty much from the jump. Like, he was behind the whole time and just so far behind. But like Leroy, like, we're dying to see Leroy have his time, and he's so close. Matt Ligori, adding insult to injury here, says, who wins a challenge first, Nicole Ramos or Leroy?
I mean, I gotta give it to Leroy just because I don't like I can't see Nicole ever even like making a final, let alone finishing and winning one. But I mean, honestly, if you set the combined over under at a half, I would take the under.
I feel like you were supposed to have at least a chuckle after the question, but I appreciate your commitment to odds making. Maybe Matt is serious here. I like thought it was just a burn.
I'm deep into baseball gambling and all my brain can think about it more gambling.
You and I both deep in math right now. I want to point something out, and I never shout this out because I don't care about music, but the song for the last leg after they like shed their suits of armor is amazing, and it's called Run for Your Life by The Siege. I didn't know it before. I went to like MTV, like Googling, I don't know, like songs and MTV shows to look this up. It is so good. Recommend.
Back to the '90s, using MTV for music. Look at you.
It's great. But yeah, now we could talk about like, I don't know, the end of Tony Time or whatever, something more important than that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of interesting. Like the two stars of like the big moves and the shakeups, Devin and Tony, they both kind of flame out. They both don't win many money. It's kind of, I mean, I think as we talked about before, like how the winners aren't really the focal point of seasons. I think looking back on this season, you were going to think about the Tony and Devin stuff that they were, how they manipulated and cut people's throat and stuff like that. But it's interesting that they both don't place.
That is interesting. I was just more thinking about the different responses TJ gives these fine gentlemen. I don't know if you picked up on this, but first to Leroy, he says, quote, "You gave it a go," which is like probably the worst thing he could say besides like, "You disappointed me in your disgrace and I hope to never see you again."
Hey, you gave it a go. You tried.
And then, yeah, but like that's like it's not even a good go. Like you had a good like he gives Tony a lot more respect. Like, "Oh, you looked really great this season and like I'm sure we'll see you again." Why no love for Leroy? Why you gave it a go?
I don't know. Maybe just like he's like Leroy. Come on, win one of these already. Like you've been doing these for like 20 years. It's time to win one.
I died. I cracked up when I heard you gave it a go. That was just like they forgot to slip me a cue card. So I'm going to put some words together. You gave it a go.
No voiceover to bail him out.
Can you one? I have a conspiracy theory. Did Kara beat Leroy?
I don't know. I'm trying to remember like if she was ever ahead during like I don't know. I guess it's possible. I don't recall the timing of their finishes or whatever. But why do you think she did? And
only because like when Leroy arrives, they do like an amazing race style thing where they're like, "Leroy, you are the third person to arrive. I'm sorry you didn't make it." And then the boys come out. But like for Kyle's finish and Kara's finish, Zach is there, and then Zach and Kyle are there for Kara's finish. And I don't know if it was just like, "Okay, guys, hide because Leroy's coming." But I don't know. Hmm. Maybe it's nothing.
I mean, it's possible.
It looked a little inconsistent.
This is another weird. I don't know why they would hide that. It'd be a weird thing to just save Leroy face or something. I don't know. Kind of weird.
Yeah. No, you're not wrong. But I just was like, that's bizarre. And then Shelby Heinmiller says, "Do you think this challenge experience for Tony will humble him at all with how cocky he was basically all season long?"
No, I think if he goes in and starts winning again, I think he'll probably do the same thing. I mean, because in his mind, it worked. It just he failed in the final. So he got to the end. So everything he did worked. He himself failed. So I think he'll probably look to do the same thing all over again.
This might be totally off base, but I think he comes in doubling down on Tony Time next season.
Yeah,
like I think
no, go ahead.
So I just think that he can't go back. It's like why we see him so bent out of shape about Leroy's directives, like why he's like, "I'm not the little brother anymore." Like, I don't think there's ever a chance where Tony's like, "Oh, sorry, I went rogue last season. Like, I'm back in the fold." Like, I think Tony wants to be a power player and will now only double down on it despite not winning.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think Tony Time is going to be like his phrase now going forward.
I just love how he's like, "No, it's not Tony Time anymore."
Womp womp.
Can you explain how the money is being divided? Because I still have missed it, and Edward Morris has a question about it, but I need a setup to then ask the question.
So I think I do actually know this answer. So everyone's money that they had going into the final is theirs to keep. And then there's extra money given out based
just
off
the four.
Yeah, the four. Okay. So for Zach, he has 37,000. Kayla has 20. Kyle has 10. And Kara has 8,700. So that's their money. And then if you come in fourth, you get another 5,000. Third, you get 10,000. Second, you get 35. First, you get, you're supposed to just get 150, but then they're also giving you another 220 for all the money that people had that was eliminated. So you, for first, you get 370.
Okay, so Edward Morris says, what do you think about the fact that not only does the winner get everybody who lost throughout the show's money, but an extra 100K on top of that?
I'm fine with that. I'd rather them give more money to first to make first even more valuable than kind of spreading it out evenly. So
I think first should get everything, and you should only get the money you came in with if you don't come in first. I don't think they should even add to the rest of the positions.
It is interesting, since people do have money already, they could have easily have done like an all or nothing type situation for, or where to take all situation for this type of final, because it's very unique in that people have been banking money along the way.
Even if they give out less money total, like if they just give the 100,000 to the winner and then the, what's the being given out between the two, three and four, like even if they just didn't give that money out, MTV saved it to fly in the rest of the vendettas. Like, mm-hmm. I still think that I would prefer that. Like, I don't need the first place person to get 500 grand. I just want second, third and fourth to go with, home with nothing but what's in the bank.
Yeah, that's fine. I think because of they have money in the bank, that's fine. I think on a normal season, I think they should do how they normally do.
Yeah, no, just because they all, like, you came in with what you have, you keep that, and the only way to get more is you win.
It would have been very funny if they did it that way, and Leroy, like, finished second. He got nothing. Then he had nothing. Yeah. That would have been so typical, classic Leroy.
And then we should talk about Cam, who comes in third behind Kayla.
Yeah, I mean, I it's hard to like officially judge where she was at the timing of when like the grenade hit her. But I mean, that clearly sank her chances. I think she was ahead of Kayla at the time. So,
oh, yeah, she was definitely ahead of Kayla.
So, yeah. So, I mean, it's a bad break. But I mean, that's kind of what you get in a final. I mean, I wouldn't say it was, I mean, it's unlucky, obviously, because that the game is about luck. But I mean, that's kind of the way the final goes sometimes. So.
So I was really pissed and I was like, oh my God, this came down to frickin' Mel and high-low and all this bullshit. And then I'm like, you know what? Cam did say higher on a 10. And you're just sort of like, well, like if she just went with the odds like everybody else, she would have not had the grenade. So I'm not even mad. I feel bad for Cam.
Yeah, she did it to herself. She did it to herself.
Okay, so let's talk about Memory Smash.
Yeah, so this, I mean, so there's a color board with a lot of different circles and a lot of different colors, and you have to match it up to the way the memory board is. That's basically it.
Will Simon says, how surprised are you that the final part of the final was actually something either gender could win?
I mean, I would like to say I'm not surprised because this is what they should do, but I'm a little surprised just because the challenge usually screws up executing this properly.
Yeah, I think I hesitate to say this, but I do think they ended up doing a good job of making a, like, we speculated all season long. We had no idea how they were going to do a final where only one person wins. And I think having both genders take it from 2-4 to 2 adds the intrigue of the elimination final. And then who's going to win, whatever, and then take it to a puzzle to figure out the winner. Like, I'm not mad at it.
Yeah. I think they did well. I think this was a good thing to do where, you know, it's gender neutral and it takes like some going back and forth, a lot of mental thinking and everyone's tired. So it's like they give them all a break and gave Zach and Kara a 30-second head start for being in first. So, it's about as good as you could have hoped.
And while we're talking about Will from America, we have to thank, and hopefully if all tech stuff goes well, you will have listened to Will's new theme song for us. I feel like we finally made it. We have a Will from America theme. I'm absolutely obsessed with it. So thank you to Will for that. And Will and I were talking and he was like, oh, I've been here since the beginning. And I was like, well, I remember, and I'm going to tell a story about this in the podcast. So please pardon the digression. Okay, if you're 54 minutes into this podcast, you're okay with hearing about this. So yes. I'm doing the questions. And Will was, again, one of our first like listeners who wrote in questions all the time. And I see his last name, S-E-A-M-O-N. And I'm like, I'm an adult. I'm going to say this as it should be pronounced, like science. I mean, no, it's not, the spelling is wrong, but I'm saying it. First show, I say it. I don't even snicker. I pronounce it like an adult, the adult that I am. And then immediately he's like, so it's pronounced Simon, not semen. And so instead I had to say semen on air. And now I've said it 3 times total. But Will, I will never forget that you were an early listener, because I'm embarrassed at how I mispronounced your name thinking I was the cool adult. So thank you for your questions for 100 seasons we've been doing this and for the theme song.
Yes, thank you very much. Hopefully it's in this episode, but if not, maybe next week.
Okay. And truth, full disclosure, he sent it to me last week, but I wasn't going to let it air without me on the podcast up for the first time.
That would be funny.
Okay. One thing that's random is like when Zach was like, if I won winner, all that money, like if I didn't already need a diaper, I would now. I was like, my first reaction when I hear diapers from a man on the show is like, does Zach also have a kid?
Yes. And he also doesn't have to work anymore for the rest of his life, because, you know, that's what $370,000 before taxes does for a person.
Yeah, Zach has said something stupid like that before, too, hasn't he?
Yeah, probably.
Well, in fairness, like, what is Zach's income annually, not including the challenge?
I'm sorry. Those questions always perplex me. I could believe anything. I believe he would take home like 50 grand. I could see him taking home like 250 grand. I have no idea.
I thought it was going to be more between like $2 and $12.
It's very, very perplexing stuff.
All right. I'm going to say something stupid. I'm not spoiled. I hope I'm wrong. I think Zach wins, because I feel like the edit throughout this entire episode was very like, Zach made the hard choices. Zach stole and lied and cheated and like an acute like piratey, like what you need to do for Vendetta's way. And he needs it to be worth it. And when you get Kara's edit, it's like, she's happy that she made the decision with Leroy. Earlier in the episode, she's saying she doesn't even care if Kyle sticks around and she just wants to win for winning's sake. And while I think that that should be fine for Kara to say, and is fine for Kara to say, that is not the edit a female winner of this season would get on MTV.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think Zach, I'd be surprised if Zach is not the winner. I'd be very surprised. And I think I would almost, if it's not Zach, based off like everything you're saying, and I totally agree, I would almost expect Kyle more to win over Kara. And then
I feel like that would be a crazy edit to show them both down to just one dot unchanged, and then actually Kyle wins.
Man, I mean, you never know. Who the hell knows with these people? So,
all right. I cannot wait for this reunion. I will not be here to recap this reunion with you. I am upset about it. I might text you some thoughts, but I will be watching with bated breath. This looks particularly heated.
I think there's a lot of bad blood that was driven up through the season. And I don't remember exactly when it was filmed, around when all the Twitter drama went off. But depending upon the timing, there could be even more stuff that is talked about. So, yeah, so I'm going to set expectations high, and I can't wait to be disappointed, just like any other reunion I ever watched. So looking forward to it.
So just a couple things from the after show quickly that I watched, just like one or two more things. So Devin was there. She wasn't just in Orlando or wherever that was, Universal. She was there on the after show with Nessa co-hosting. And it was so funny, 'cause like from the second you see her, she's like there like a host, like holding the cards in a way only like an actual host does, and not in a way that like the sideshow guest does. Like Nessa, you heard it here last, because I'm sure people have been saying it, Devin is hot on your heels, and I would be here for that.
Yeah, I think that is where Devin belongs. I think she is born to be a host. She's fantastic at it. I mean, did you see the like the weird thing that the competition she hosted also with Hunter and Leroy, I think it was, there was a very weird commercial break where they, okay, so I mean, she did a great job hosting that, so I think it's right up Devin's alley. It'll be perfect.
That's why I keep mentioning Universal. Was it not at Universal? Do I sound like an idiot? All right, so Anissa's in a boot. This is very similar to when Jenna was in a boot before the season aired. Maybe that's a spoiler. I have no idea why. I imagine it's from Joe's versus Pros that she's on, that cast has been announced officially. But it was very strange because I didn't notice it. She's wearing like pants or a dress, and Nessa brings attention to the boot only for Anissa to just be like, well, I just want attention and for people to like help me out. And then they move on. So it's like, why, if they told Anissa not to acknowledge why she's injured, then why bring attention to it? That was very bizarre, but whatever.
There you go.
And I think that was all. Oh, and then, yeah, like Nicole and Laurel hooked up again when they were together. And Nicole like spilled the beans on that.
Like when Laurel was out filming the show?
No. So like Nicole said in response to Laurel being like, how did you let this happen? Nicole was like, well, that's not what you said when you're here last week in your hotel room on the 15th floor on that nice little bed. It was like kind of creepy. And she was like, we took care of unfinished business. Laurel was a guest on the after show. So I imagine that she was just in New York for that and was with Laurel.
Gotcha.
So before we get to what little news and stuff we have, thanks to our 5-star reviewer, CK Mora. Thanks to everyone all season. Keep sending those in. We really appreciate it. You could do so at robisowebsite.com/challenge iTunes. And a big thank you to our digital communications manager, Megan Elizabeth, who's been keeping us aware of all of the happenings all season long. Not that this is the end of the season, but it is for me, so I'm just keeping it going. With the thank yous. So no Twitter. She said everybody's out filming Final Reckoning. So no Twitter, but a couple of interesting news articles. So first, this isn't news. This is from Reddit. Laurel was on the Reality Steve podcast. If you want to check that out, there's also a Reddit recap that gives you some bullet points. Nothing terribly interesting. A lot of shitting on Kara, like a lot of like really mean stuff about Kara. Like nobody likes her. And she said that Jenna's so uninteresting and why does she have followers and she's hateful and jealous and whatever. And then also that like Nicole's relationship with her was really like healing, but trust got in the way and distance, and that Nicole like kind of wishes they had stayed together and that Laurel gave up too soon. And interestingly, like Laurel acts a little bit above the chain. This is just from the Reddit recap. I didn't listen to the podcast, but Laurel says that like the people who have nothing else to do, like, but the challenge are like pathetic or something like that. But then mentions that like, oh, she'd come back if like the time was right. And you're like, okay, cool. Oh, this one she says, Nicole doesn't have her life figured out because she still goes on reality TV shows and says that everyone who does go on the reality shows is still not sure about their path. Like if they constantly do seasons. Like, I feel like Laurel like does a lot of seasons of reality television.
Yeah, I would say she needs to step down off the high horse and realize that she did many seasons as well. So why don't you chill out?
And so what's becoming an annual tradition, Susie Meister of the Brain Candy podcast, wrote yet another think piece about life after reality television. I would like to hear her write like life after reality television, because I feel like she writes articles even though she hasn't been on the show in a long time.
Right.
And like, let's not lie that she's totally capitalizing of her status from a reality TV show person on the Brain Candy podcast, as she should. Check it out. It's posted on Medium. She's a really great writer. And the problems the criticism she's making are fair and true. And people subject themselves to some horrible shit here. And she talks about a lot of different shows. She talks about sort of like the privilege she had as like a blonde white woman versus how some other people are presented. And I think all of that is fair. And I have a tendency to dog Susie's pieces on this because I'm just sort of like, I don't really know how this is much different than what she's written before, but worth a read, always worth thinking about as we are consumers of this medium. Yep. But something really interesting, the reason I'm mentioning this is that she's responding to a recent New York Times article about Preston. Did you see this?
I did not.
So Preston was profiled in the New York Times. The headline is A Journey from Real World to Homeless Shelter and College. And the article like notes that he was on the Real World, but for the most part, it's just about Preston's struggle over the last 2 years. He's been homeless and he's also a student and going to college, and just tracks him like through the shelter system and hostels, and now he's in an apartment, has a job, and is still like continuing his education. And just like something I had no idea about. I mean, we haven't kept up with Preston, but it was you know, it was like very sad to see, but he's like staying on his feet, staying in school. What I thought was strange, and I don't know if I should really speak to this, but I'm going to, the article only mentions that he was on the show. It does refer to an incident that happened with him on Real World New Orleans with the toothbrush, not like Tanya. He defiled, they say in the article, defiling a roommate's toothbrush led to tabloid headlines. But I'm going to quote Susie's article in Medium. She says, after some of his particularly unflattering behavior made air, he received a lot of negative feedback, but more importantly, his mistakes were now searchable online. The digital footprint of his time on the show made it almost impossible for him to find a job, leaving him homeless for 2 years. So I just thought that was interesting that, like, the article says nothing that he couldn't get a job because of MTV. But Susie is now suggesting that, like, citing this article to say that because of MTV, he can't get a job. Not a really great note to leave on. Just something to think about.
Yeah.
I hope that's not still the case. I mean, he has a job now, so maybe that was or wasn't the case, and that's Susie editorializing. But yeah, like, all the best to Preston.
Yeah, all the best. He was a fun guy. Not that he's dead, but, you know.
So, as I said, I won't be here the next 2 weeks. Finals are creeping up, and I'm happy to have made it through the finale, sort of, as Brian would say, or finale, as I would say. If you miss me, which you won't, you can. I did last weekend. I did a podcast with Brent and Mike. I returned to my old stomping grounds on the RuPaul's Drag Race. I forgot what it's called. RuPaul's Drag Race wrap up. And it's probably a little old to plug now, but I was on the RHAP B&B with Liana and Mike, if you're really desperate. But otherwise, it's been a good season, a fun season of podcasting, and I will catch you on the flip.
Ba-bam. Good job by you. We'll be back. Well, I'll be back. We're spending a lot of time to sort out how we're doing the reunion. Might do it in one part, might do it in two. Stay tuned for that, but we'll check it in. You can follow me on Twitter at @CohenBrian_. As Ali mentioned, subscribe, robswebsite.com/challenge iTunes. Ali gave you all her stuff. We'll be back in 1 or 2 weeks. Who knows? Until then.
I didn't say my Twitter.
Can we follow you on Twitter?
No. At, yeah, Lash, you can follow me at Lash Tweets, yeah.
Until then, have a good one.